prayer is so significant in our lives. The challenge, and I dare say the problem, is we don't even know what to say. We don't even know what is prayer. And we even hear Scripture testify to that. That the Spirit of God moans and groans inside of us because we don't know how to pray as we ought. It's unfortunate that we consider prayer as a task, a function, something on a to-do list, something that I can do later. Fortunately, some of us think that we don't have time for prayer, that somehow prayer is a waste of our time. But prayer is much more than something that we do. It's at the heart of who we are. Prayer is entering into a relation with God and relating with Him in prayer. Not only our thoughts, our feelings, our speech, our desires, not only our frustrations, our aches, our sufferings, but we forget that prayer is a form of gratitude and thanksgiving. It's a way that we can enter into God's presence and simply just want to say thank you for all that you do, for all that you've ever done. Thank you for being the answer to my prayer. And prayer requires for us to understand that there is a great formula to prayer. Yes, we're praying throughout the day so that throughout our day we can remain in God's presence and continue to relate our situations, our family, our relationships to Him. But prayer requires what we hear today. We have to seek God in solitude. We've got to put ourselves in kind of a retreat-like atmosphere. We have to place ourselves in a quiet disposition, in a place where we can be found and God can be found as well. Jesus would always go away from the noise, away from the crowds, even away from His own administration. He would go away in silence to commune with the Father, to intimately relate to the Father so that the Father can continue to relate to His Son. It's how Jesus always said, the Father and I are one. I remain in Him and He remains in me. It's something active. It's always happening. It's not something that He did or that He does. It's who He is. The prayer is the relationship. It's constantly relating. But it needs dedicated time, quiet time, silent time, so that we can hear God's voice and He can respond to our aches and to our needs and to our gratitudes and to our celebrations and thanksgiving. We need silence in order for us to hear what God has to say. And remember, what God says is efficacious. It causes change. It causes healing. It causes reconciliation. It causes new life. It renews, it strengthens, it inspires, it encourages. For even Peter would say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. Your prayer is life. It gives life. It's life-saving, life-changing. The prayer is sacramental. But we have to learn how to pray. Not only want to pray, but we have to learn how to do it accurately and right. We see in Elijah today how important it is to come away. Jesus would always say, come away with me. He would teach to his disciples to get away from the crowds, from the family, from the friends, and simply be in a place where God can be heard. And he goes. And what we learn from Elijah is discerning God's voice. What does God's voice? Because so many of us think that God is an angry God, and God is yelling, and God is screaming. God is not yelling. He just can't be heard. And so if God can't be heard, how is it that you hear him yelling? What God is reminding us in Elijah, those storms in our lives, we are those storms. Our words are harsh. They're like earthquakes. They're like fire that just burn and consume everything. We're so busy hearing the wrong voices that if we want to hear God's voice, we got to shut down all those people who sound like earthquakes, all those people that sound like hurricanes, all those people who want to be heard. We got to shut that all down. And we have to wait patiently for the Lord to lead us in prayer. Prayer is something that God does. What we do in prayer is simply lovingly respond to what God has to say and what God has to share with us. Jesus is showing the disciples that they're listening to the storms in their life, and it's causing them to be fearful, hopeless. It's causing them to be despairing, discouraged. It's causing them to be dark and desolate. They're hearing the wrong voice, and that's the voice that they're following in the storm. So much so that they're hearing their own distress. They're hearing their own selves cry out to their own selves. That even when God speaks, they're not even sure if it's him, because they don't recognize his voice, because the storms that they're listening to in their head. We create those storms in our heads. We're always brainstorming. We're always thinking. We're always problem solving. We're trying to do it on our own. We need to come up with a resolution. Nobody else can do this. I'm the only one. This storm gets louder and louder and louder and louder as you listen to yourself and never pray to God. You never relate your thoughts to God. They just, in a whirlwind, continue to storm up inside of you until you erupt and you start screaming and you're angry and you're yelling and you're cursing. And God is not in that storm. He is not to be found in that storm. God is in the gentle. He's in the quiet. He's in the serene, the placid, the peaceful. He's in the quiet. And we're encouraged as we hear the disciples. Jesus is trying to help them to hear their voice and then ultimately to hear his voice. He's telling them, stop being afraid. Stop yelling. Stop crying out. Stop trying to do this to yourself. And stop trying to do this by yourself. It is I. Take courage, he says. Be still. Be still. Be quiet, he says, and know that I am God. God is here, and he needs silence in order to be heard.